and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a person progress in life, facing challenges, setbacks, and yet just keeps on going? How does that person stay close to his wife and raise children who are industrious and strong, all while being in a remote location with little or none of the common amenities most of us take for granted? The Greek philosopher Epictetus wrote, "Practice yourself in little things, and thence proceed to greater." Sir William Jones stated, "Never neglect an opportunity for improvement." Our guest today is a man of excellence, characterized with high esteem because of his faithfulness to God and God's calling upon his life and family. He's an example. To do the task at hand with all your might, knowing full well that in God's time and in God's way, the Lord promotes us to further his purpose. And when he does, no one can stop the move of God. As usual, we pause here at the beginning of our show to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio program is to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know his love, his grace, his mercy, his power, strength, his hand upon your life, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing right now, for you to know the real love of the Lord, and that he died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood on that cross over 2,000 years ago. He was buried, and 3 days later, Christ was raised from the dead. And the living Jesus today calls you to himself. Oh, his amazing love and grace for you. Mark Reichman and his wife Joan and their children have been missionaries with New Tribes Mission in supplying other missionaries living in the jungles of Papua New Guinea for over 23 years. They've planted over 25 self-propagating churches and completed 4 New Testament translations. He and Joan have done all this with joy, joy in their heart and love for the people of Papua New Guinea. And now the Lord has guided him to another level of responsibility. He and Joan are the Hawaii representatives of New Tribes Mission. And their kids, Jared, Mieko, Micah, and Mariko, have grown and continue to grow in the grace of the Lord. And Mark is the author of a new book, MIA, That the Lost May Be Found. He's in studio with us today, sharing heart to heart. Mark, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Joliet, Illinois.
What was it like, Mark, growing up there in Joliet?
It was just a normal Midwestern town, and cold in the winters and very hot and muggy in the summers.
And now you're here in Hawaii. You went for many years, lived in Papua New Guinea. So there were some foundational things that I would imagine happened while you were there in Illinois. Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, we had a Christian youth center there, which was unique, I think, to the United States even. And it was led by a man deceased now, Harv Russell. And he was the director of the youth center. And it was there in Joliet. And we used to go there every week, and they had a radio show. Hmm. And so all of the kids, the high school kids, would be on this radio show as well as they went through a broadcast. And then they had evening activities as well for the kids. So I would say that Harv had a big influence on my life, as well as I had been in the Navy then. When I got out of the high school, actually that's when I got saved, was through the Navigator program. I was working through their design for discipleship, and it was through that that the Lord used that and convicted me of my sin and my need for a Savior. And I think it was my time in the Navy that opened my eyes that there was a bigger world out there, and there was a world that needed to be reached. As I got out of the Navy, I moved to Florida to get away from those cold winters in Illinois. And I attended a Christian and Missionary Alliance church there in Port Charlotte, Florida. And we had missions conferences all the time. And the Lord used those conferences to convict me that there were still tribal people that hadn't heard the gospel yet. Still people living in remote jungle locations, isolated, never once having the opportunity to hear the gospel. And we were living in a town where there were churches all over the place, on each corner. We'd go to the parks and witness. Next thing I know, the same people we were witnessing at the park were knocking on my door, witnessing to me. And it just hit me that we were just stumbling all over each other, but yet there were people that hadn't heard of Jesus Christ even once. And the Lord used that along with his word to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He used the ministry of Keith Green and some of his music and convicted me that I needed to go.
What was one of your favorite Keith Green songs?
Make My Life a Prayer to You.
Huh. What was it about that song?
Well, I want to do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers. No compromise. And so those were some of the convicting words and that the Lord used. Also, I don't know. I can't think right now of some of his songs, but they were precious. And the Lord was using not only his word and Keith Green. I had friends of ours had gotten married and came in contact with some of New Tribe's missionaries at the time that we were just kind of wondering what we were going to do. And actually, I wasn't even married at the time. It was after I got married that I presented this idea to my wife about being missionaries, and she was extremely upset.
Okay, now we got to talk about Joan a little bit.
Okay.
She's a local gal, right, here? She grew up
in... She's a Hawaii girl from Wahiwa.
Okay.
And graduated from Lelehua.
So how does a guy from Joliet, Illinois, you meet a girl from Wahiwa, then you guys end up in Papua New Guinea, and you lived there for over 23 years. So take us back. How did that happen?
Okay, well, I was, after I got out of the Navy, I moved back to Joliet. And my wife, unbeknownst to me, had gone to the mainland to visit her sister and brother-in-law. And they came to my home church. And she sat right in front of me at home church. And from that, we developed a relationship. She moved back to Hawaii. I moved to Florida. And we wrote for 10 months with the old way, with letters and stamps. And,
no email, right?
No email at those times. No, no Skype or anything.
Uh-huh.
And after 10 months, and I came here and I visited, met her parents, and 3 months later we were married. And then I was living in Florida, so we lived down there for a while. And that's we went to a missions conference. I'll tell you the story. We went to a missions conference, and again, I was convicted about going to the mission field. And so we came home from that conference, and I was sitting watching TV, eating ice cream with bananas and caramel topping, and my Japanese wife was giving me a neck massage as we were watching Magnum P.I., and the louvered windows were open, and the wind was blowing softly, and then all of a sudden there was a rushing wind, and it blew the drapes open, and the lights flickered, the TV went off, I dropped my ice cream, and I heard a voice. And the voice said, "Mark, I want you and Joan to be missionaries of Papua New Guinea." Now, that's not what happened at all. I've already told you what happened, but that's what people want to hear. They say, you know, if the Lord would speak to me, I would go. If I would have a vision, I would go. If But that's not how the Lord worked in my life. It's a still small voice through His Word, through mission conferences, through Christian artists. Those were the things the Lord used to convict my heart.
And the Lord still speaks in the still small voice. Very often, we don't hear Him. Our lives are very much distracted nowadays. And things that we can very easily rationalize. And some of them are, I think, justifiable. But you and Joan, you guys made a decision. You made a decision of faith. You talk about no compromise. I think it's very easy in the 21st century, particularly in America, when it comes to American Christianity, we can very... Actually, we're in danger of almost distorting the simplicity of what a Christian life really is. But you've gone, you've done it. You've taken the Lord at His word, responded to the call of God, and you went. Fulfilled a calling there in Papua New Guinea. I'd like for you to go deeper and tell us a story of, you mentioned that Joan was a bit reluctant early on. And there was a working, obviously, a process that had to take place. Someone listening today is maybe preoccupied by many distracting things. And in their minds and even in their hearts, well, of course, I'm busy. But maybe this is a pause moment to have you here, Mark, to share about how the Holy Spirit worked in your life, and how you and Joan responded, even through her initial reluctance. Something must have happened because she ended up living there with you and raising a family. When we come back from our break, you'll hear the incredible story of Louvre's opening and the wind blowing and ice cream and hot fudge falling to the floor in dramatic fashion, as many would think that is the dramatic way in which God speaks. But you know, the drama of it all is the reality of a still small voice and a heart that is willing to respond. The profundity of simplicity of faith and the transformational power of God working through a person, through a couple, through a family, that impacts hundreds and thousands of people in an ongoing way. I'm looking at a man who is intact. His soul is intact. His heart. He's a man whose eyes are like flint, set for the will of God, for the purpose of the Lord. A man who lives with a clearness in his heart, a purpose. Oh, I admire that. And so should you. And we can experience that too, you know. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Ever wish you could listen to something inspiring but didn't have the time? What if you could get an encouraging boost from a compelling testimony, a related Bible passage, and practical application all in 90 seconds? Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show have the answer. For a gift of any amount, a new CD is being offered. A Slice of the Good Life, 90 Seconds of Refreshing Hope. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org for this CD. Hear from Johnny Erickson Tada, Greg Smalley, Joe Onasai, Dan Chun, Jordan Tseng, Terry Wong, Norman Nakanishi, Fernando Castillo, Dave Barr, Junko, Memory Casey, Carlos Cambry, Jonathan Steeper, and many more. For a gift of any amount to Danny Yamashiro Ministries, you'll receive Volume 1 of A Slice of the Good Life. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to send in your donation and receive this enjoyable gift while supplies last. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Oh, welcome back to our show. I'm so glad you're here with us today. I'm joined by our featured guest today. His name is Mark Reichman. Mark is a missionary. Mark is an author. He is a man who has planted churches, been involved with Bible translations in Papua New Guinea. There are testimonies of people in New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, and the kind of work that Mark has done has influenced the lives of people. And you tend to wonder. You wonder, what would take a person from Illinois and a woman from Wahiawa, Hawaii, they get married, and then they go off, called by God. You know, some people, they want the easy life. Well, these guys, they chose the rough life. And as you're listening to the show, maybe you're tuning in right now, and you're saying, okay, I caught part of that last segment. Can I hear the rest of the show? And the answer is obviously yes. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can get the show in its entirety as a free podcast. I'd encourage you to get the word out to another family member or friend and send it to them as a tweet, as a Facebook link, email. Pass it on because they will also be encouraged, inspired by the story of Mark Reichman. Okay, Mark, so you end up in Papua New Guinea. Take us back to what the Lord did in Joan's heart in preparing her to be there. And then I want to hear stories about the jungle. I mean, what is it like to live there and to raise a family there?
Okay, well, is what really happened after the conference, the missions conference, came home and Joan was doing the dishes, cleaning up. And I came up behind her and I said to her, kind of gently, I said, what do you think about being a missionary, about going to Africa? And she turned around and she said, are you kidding? She said, I don't want to go any place where there's bugs and humidity and snakes. And I was thinking, well, we live in Florida. We have all those things right here. She was very upset, to put it mildly. And I kind of left her alone and went back in the living room and I prayed. I said, Lord, if you're speaking to me about going to missions, you're going to have to speak to my newlywed wife here too about it, because I can't go without her. And it took about 6 months of the Lord working on her heart. I didn't bug her about it. I did mention to her occasionally. She knew it was on my heart. During that time, we had heard about New Tribes Mission, and they had their Brown Gold magazine at the time, and now it's called NTM at Work. And I had a copy of that magazine, and as I read through it, I realized this was a mission organization going by faith into the remote locations of the world, finding new tribes. That's how they got their name. And mentioned that to my wife. We even went to their headquarters, which is in Sanford, Florida. And my wife was totally bored. She was like, what are we doing here? And we just went there and talked to some of the leadership and just saw what their headquarters looked like, and then came home. And maybe a few months later, my wife agreed. She said, let's apply, and if they accept us, we'll take it from the Lord that that's what he wants us to do. And so we sent in our applications to their Bible school, and they have a 2-year Bible school. And we were accepted. And we know now the reason we were accepted is because there's not a lot of people signing up to go live in the middle of the jungle. So when they got our application, they approved it right away. And then we went through 2 years of Bible school. After that, we had a boot camp of a year-long boot camp training where we learned practical application of the biblical principles that we learned in Bible school. And then we had work detail in the afternoons, learned how to work with other missionary candidates, guys that were wanting to go to the fields as well. And after we were released from that training, then we went on to a language school, which is the third phase of the missionary training. And that's where we learned not necessarily how to learn. We didn't learn a language. We learned how to learn a language because the tribal languages aren't known. And so we had to learn the principles to put together our own language material, language learning material. Then also we learned principles for learning, teaching literacy, putting together primers. And when we were finished with that training, so it was a total of about 3.5 years of training that we went through prior to leaving. Then we went on a year of deputation, and where we had to go around and tell folks and churches and family what we were going to be doing, and raising up support, getting people behind us in the ministry that we felt the Lord was leading us into. And that took a year to do that. And then in January of 1986, we left Honolulu International Airport and headed for Papua New Guinea.
The training was extensive, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The way I'm listening to it, I mean, someone spends, you know, that many years maybe getting a law degree or maybe a medical degree or some kind of professional type of training. Of course, a lot being invested in. You and Joan went through a lot of training. Now, what was it about the training that you felt helped prepare you the most?
Well, the training is, first off, it's a 2-year Bible school. And so we went through every book of the Bible. And it was all with a mission emphasis. So each of the classes, the environment was totally missions. And so it wasn't like we're going to class studying one thing and then living something else outside of class. The whole emphasis of the Bible school was on missions and reaching tribal people. Our chapel times, we had missionaries that came and spoke. Our teachers, a lot of them had been on the fields themselves. They were missionaries that were home on furloughs or home had retired from the fields and were home teaching at the mission schools. So the whole environment was mission-minded. And that made it easier to keep focused on what we were doing and where we were headed. But we had already committed, even before we started, that we believed this is what the Lord had for us. And so it wasn't we were going to just go to Bible school and see if we liked it. We were going to go to Bible school to train for the ministry that we believe the Lord was leading us into. And even though from, like, it would be hard, like, for somebody right now to envision themselves, like somebody that's working in the workaday world like we were, to envision themselves quitting their jobs and then being over on a foreign field living in the jungle. It's hard to, you can't really imagine all of the obstacles in between. But we were taught inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, it's hard. So as we just put one step a foot in front of each other and went by faith day by day, and just saw how the Lord led, we were able to continue on. Now, just to give you an example, one thing we had to do was learn how to give each other haircuts.
And very practical.
Yeah, very practical. Out in the middle of the jungle, you don't have hairdressers or, you know, supercuts isn't out there. So we had to give ourselves haircuts as we practiced. But one thing we needed was one of those drapes to catch all the hair, you know, when it falls off. And so we said, let's just trust the Lord for one of these. Let's not just go out and buy one. Let's trust the Lord to see if he can provide one. And we had what was called a mission barrel there. People from the neighborhood would bring kind of like a Goodwill. They would bring old clothes and things that they didn't need anymore, and they would leave them there at the mission barrel. And then the mission candidates or the school Bible school students could go down there. And we went down there. We were rummaging through the barrel, and it was a truly 55-gallon barrel. We were rummaging through there. And guess what was in there?
Lo and behold,
a drink. Lo and behold, there was what do you call it?
Whatever they call it, right? That thing they put around you when they cut your hair.
Getting your hair cut, yeah. And we thought, man, this is really neat. And so we said, you know, we were writing a lot of letters. Uh-huh. And we said, you know, let's just trust the Lord for envelopes. And we said, we're just not going to buy envelopes. These are just little things. But we were touching, you know, we were testing the waters here.
Part of training, right?
Well, it was part of training because also we didn't, you know, we had never lived by faith, just trusting the Lord to provide. And so we said, let's just trust the Lord for envelopes. And once a week we would go down to Milwaukee because we were going to Bible school in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And once a week we went to Milwaukee to do street witnessing. And as I pulled up to the parking lot, or parallel parking there, I noticed on the ground in front of me, on the car in front of me, apparently the guy had opened his trunk and pulled out his briefcase or whatever, it opened, whatever. There was a whole bunch of envelopes laying on the ground. And again, we just went and picked those envelopes up and we said, Lord, we just know you're going to provide. And you know, Danny, it's been 28 years that we have been doing this, serving the Lord by faith, and he continues to provide today. And but you know, you will not know if the Lord's going to catch you unless you step out by faith. Hmm. And that's what we had to do, just step out by faith and just keep walking day by day. And even now, we continue to walk day by day.
What was it like raising your children there in the jungle?
Well, our oldest son, Micah, was 5 months old when we left Hawaii here. And as you can imagine, our relatives, parents thought we were nuts, that we were going to take a newborn baby to the, you know, land that was known for, many years ago, was known for cannibalism, and it was a third world country. And we didn't know what it was going to be like over there either, and they could just envision the worst. But again, we went by faith. And when we got over there, we had a 6-month training or orientation period where we lived in a kind of a small city. And then during that time, we found out where we were going to be ministering, and I had made preparations. We were going to be on the south coast of the island of New Britain, and our ministry was going to be to supply missionaries that lived interior. And so we would have to order in supplies from the mainland, very similar to Hawaii here. Supplies would come from the mainland. We would pick them up at the wharf, and then we would transport them by four-wheel drive truck because there were no paved roads. It was all mud road. And we would transport those supplies up into the tribal locations. And our missionaries in the early days would have to send out carriers. They would have to hike for 2 to 3 hours to pick up the supplies that we had on the back of our truck. And then they would carry them back into the villages where our missionaries were working, planting churches and doing translation. So what was it like? It was very inconvenient. Mm. We did not have electric, so we had a generator. We didn't, for refrigeration, we used a refrigerator that operated on kerosene. We had, in early days, we had pressure lamps for, there was just a kerosene pressure lamp. And that's what we used at night for lighting the house. As years went on, my wife, we did homeschooling. And my wife taught Micah and then our other three children all how to read and write. And she continued to educate them for their 12 years of schooling. So life was very inconvenient. It was very basic. We did not have TV. We did not have radio. The only TV we had was when somebody would mail us a video, and then we could watch TV on video. So we would have Friday nights, we would watch TV. So a lot of our life was spent after our ministry getting supplies and getting them all organized, delivered, and built out. One of the things that was neat, we would eat dinner together as a family every night.
Every night.
And after dinner, we'd go from the dining room to the living room, and we would sit and talk for another 2 to 3 hours. Hmm. We spent a lot of time as a family, and we were very close.
The glimpse that you're giving us right now is, it is different, I think, from how many live today. I mean, to catch a meal together as a family. Nowadays?
Yes.
Now, this is arguable. I mean, someone could say, well, Danny, that is not how it is for my family. But arguably so, it could be a once or twice a week deal. And even with that, because we are so preoccupied with what's going on, the level of dinner conversation may be very sparse. Because whether we're there, our minds might not be all there because we're off wanting to do or needing to go somewhere else. But there's a certain level of depth, obviously, that you're speaking about when you invest that kind of time in talking, communicating, because you have time. And you have that time to enrich with family and build memories together. When we come back from our break, Mark, I'd like for you to share with us about the work. You went and supplied the missionaries. What were they doing on a daily basis? Kind of like a day in the life of a New Tribes missionary there in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. What do they do? They're translating the Bible. They're reaching people. It's like multitasking on steroids, because they, it seems to me, are translating, reaching out, planting churches, learning a language, communicating all at the same time. Give us a deeper glimpse of that. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from Mark Reichman. He's a missionary. He's actually served, he and his wife, Joan, and their family served in Papua New Guinea for over 23 years. He's now back, still with New Tribes Missions. And New Tribes Mission, they have over 3,000 missionaries all over the world. But they go for the hard stuff. They go where the gospel has never been preached before. They're going to people who have never, ever heard of the name Jesus before. They don't even know that there was a person named Jesus. They're going and, led by God, by faith, stepping out, reaching those dear people. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Mark Reichman, his incredible adventurous story today. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Ever wish you could listen to something inspiring but didn't have the time? What if you could get an encouraging boost from a compelling testimony, a related Bible passage, and practical application all in 90 seconds? Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show have the answer. For a gift of any amount, a new CD is being offered. A Slice of the Good Life, 90 Seconds of Refreshing Hope. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org for this CD. Hear from Johnny Erickson Tada, Greg Smalley, Joe Onasai, Dan Chun, Jordan Sang, Terry Wong, Norman Nakanishi, Fernando Castillo, Dave Barr, Junko, Memory Casey, Carlos Cambry, Jonathan Steeper, and many more. For a gift of any amount to Danny Yamashiro Ministries, you'll receive Volume 1 of A Slice of the Good Life. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to send in your donation and receive this enjoyable gift while supplies last. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So you're getting the shakes. You start to break out in a sweat. you get this swooning feeling of dizziness, and it begins to come on you. Your back begins to hurt, your body begins to ache, and you're thinking, what in the world is this? Well, folks, it is called malaria. And when you go out in third world countries and you go to, you know, mission, you do missions work, long-term missions, short-term missions, mid-term missions. Many times in you check out the CDC and then they'll tell you, hey, you got to get malaria medicine. Well, our guest today, he knows about malaria. He knows about treating his own family for malaria because they would get it every few months. What in the world would cause a family, well, a man of the family, to subject his own family to the mosquito that would fly around the family, as he says, tongue-in-cheek, that would infect all of them? He can say it with a grin on his face. I mean, he's back here in Hawaii, but he dedicated, you know, over two decades of his life there in Papua New Guinea. Anyway, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I'm Danny Yamashiro. My featured guest today is Mark Reichman with New Tribes Mission. To find out more about New Tribes, you can go to ntm.org. Shall I dare say that there might be somebody listening today that there's a strange sense within you and thinking, my, who in the world would have ever thought that you would have some odd inkling of an interest, maybe wanting to pursue at least finding out a little bit more information about what it means to live and serve the Lord for an extended period of time, as you've dedicated your life to the Lord. Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Have you said that to him? In spite of some of the reservations you might have? Well, if you're interested to find out more about New Tribes, go to ntm.org. And of course, to find out more about this program, to hear other programs, many stories. We've got a plethora of stories that could relate with you, family members, friends, and you want to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, and we've got free podcasts for you as well. All kinds of different subjects, topics, on and on. A great resource for you to reach family and friends with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark, well, gosh, I spoke a lot about malaria, didn't I? But you had to. What would you do when that would happen?
Well, you got to remember, as we went through the training, one of the things we did, we also were trained on medical things. So it wasn't only our family, but we also we treated the people every morning for about an hour and a half. The people in the village would come to us, and we would treat them for malaria or cuts or headache or whatever ailments they were having. We also had a doctor that we could communicate by way of radio. So if we had severe cases, we could even bring in helicopter to evacuate the people out if they needed to be. So for myself, praise the Lord, we never, only one time did we evacuate one of my daughters out. I can't say never. One time we did evacuate my daughter out. She had a Giardia. But other than that, we never had any.
What is that?
Giardia. She had a lot of dysentery and vomiting at the same time, just losing all of her fluids. Mm. And so she was treated, I believe, with Flagyl was the medicine for that. Once a blood test was done, then it was easy to find that out.
Now, you're hammering away there. I mean, just day after day after day. The missionaries are there. You're supplying them. I mean, you've got this rhythm. Right, there's a certain kind of, it might be a slower rhythm compared to how we live here, but a rhythm nonetheless. What goes on the day in the life of a missionary in the jungle of Papua New Guinea? What's it like?
Okay, well, the guys that we were supplying, you got to remember, they were living even more remote than we were, as they lived interior there on the island. Their day, what consisted initially, was building a house. When you first move into a village, you have to build your own house. And our house, we did the same thing. We just went to the jungle. We cut down little trees, and we just built a house out of bush material. And we wove our using small bamboo. We wove that for our inner walls. We hand-hewn our own planks to make our outside walling. We even did our own septic system so that we could have toilets in the house because my wife didn't want to go to the toilet out in the mangroves. And this would be very similar for our people that lived further interior. Matter of fact, our first house had a grass roof. And then we did, later on, we had a grass roof on the front, and then we had a dotung, you know, the corrugated iron on the backside, because we collected our own rainwater and stored it, and that's what the drinking water that we had. So our guys in the village did the same thing. They would spend about 6 months building a house, sometimes just go use a chainsaw and mill their own timber, and so they could have flat floors, and they got their houses done and they got settled in there. Then they would go into language learning, and they would spend 2 years learning language and culture, and also learning. They would do an archaeological study or an anthropological study of the people that they were living with, so that when they began to teach, not only were they teaching in their language, in their vernacular, they also were understanding the culture, so they didn't make any cultural mistakes.
What are some cultural distinctions that would be of interest to our curiosity there in Papua New Guinea? Any things that you know, witch doctors, do they have witch doctors? Are they animistic?
Yes. In Papua New Guinea, the people were animistic, so they worship their dead ancestors. One of the things, like here's an example, maybe in if you're going to be translating the Bible and you wanted to use the word spirit, and you were going to get that word spirit from your language helper, and he's going to he might give you word spirit, and then you find out later that the word for spirit that he gave you meant evil spirit.
Hmm.
Well, that might not be the word you wanted to use when you're trying to translate the Holy Spirit, and so that's why the language and understanding the language and the culture is very important. So that when you do start working on translation, that you're translating God's word as accurate as you can.
Now, I found something. It was a testimony shared by someone that was interviewed while you were there. Who are the Mew people?
Okay, well, Papua New Guinea has over 820 distinct language groups.
How many?
820.
Wow.
So each of the language groups has their own language, of course. And so new tribes didn't try to put missionaries in each one of the language groups, but we tried to, you know, separate them and put like every other one. And the Mew people were just one of the language groups. It was a small group on the island of New Britain. I think the population of that group was only 500 people.
Mm.
But they had their own distinct language, and we put a missionary team in there. And I think the man you're referring to is Myung. And Myung had been a witch doctor. And so if people wanted their to be healed, or if they wanted their gardens to grow, they would go to Myung.
You know, it was interesting, as I read it, the question was asked him, right? What has changed as a result of New Tribe's mission being here? And so he says, you know, we are free. Before, we could never go into the jungle without being in fear of our enemies. Everybody was our enemy. Now, we have no enemies. We can go anywhere we want. The spirit places, or the Masalai, don't exist. I don't think they ever did, but our fathers and grandfathers would tell us where they were, so we would have to respect those areas and not go by them, or we get sick or die. Our ancestors were deceived into thinking these places were there, but they're really not there at all. Us older men remember those places, but we don't fear them anymore. Our children have no idea where they are because we don't even talk about them anymore. They too are free. I used to do magic to make the gardens grow, like you were saying there, Mark. People would ask me to do magic on their gardens to make them grow. I knew I didn't have magic because there were times I would do my magic and the gardens wouldn't grow, and there were times they would grow. I knew it had to do with planting a garden at the right time, but I wouldn't tell anyone. Now I tell people, you plant your taro garden and do your magic, and we'll plant a garden and just pray to God. You know what happens? Our gardens grow better. The people see their magic is nothing. And he goes on, he talks about witch doctors. And how did those spiritual encounters, the reality of those spiritual encounters, impact you and in relation to reaching more people in Papua New Guinea with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Well, you have to understand, we use a chronological Bible teaching approach. So we don't just jump off the airplanes or hike into their village and start passing out tracts or start, you know, giving them the Romans Road. After our missionaries learn language and culture for 2 to 3 years, then they start teaching them on a chronological approach, starting right in the very beginning, where the Bible came from, and then opening up that Bible, and in the beginning, God. And they teach how God, what he did in creation, and you learn about God and his character, his power, his might, and then all the way up to, and what God required, too, for the taking away of sin, and that God required a blood sacrifice. And so is that those lessons are about 70 lessons in teaching the people. So the people usually takes about 3 months listening daily to the Bible lessons before they come to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's at that time that the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. And sometimes there's people before that, before the death, burial, and resurrection, they see that something's coming. Because they've been taught that there's a deliverer that was promised to Adam and Eve that was going to come one day, and that Satan was going to bruise his heel, but he was going to crush Satan's head. And so as the Old Testament stories are taught, some of the people start to catch on because they may have heard through different religions or that have been in the area, they may have heard the name of Jesus Christ. And so they start to put the pieces together. But for the majority, it's not until the death, burial, and resurrection is taught that they understand what Christ has done for them. And then the Holy Spirit living in their lives brings this change in their lives, which is tremendous, as you see with Myung there, that he didn't, he gave up. He gave up doing witchcraft because he knew it wasn't real. He knew it wasn't real before, but he did it because he was getting paid for it. But he was able to confess to the people, no, I believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ now, and therefore I won't do these things anymore.
I mean, we're talking about not just a, hey, quick, say this prayer. I'm going to lead you in the sinner's prayer. You are fully integrated into their life. One of the things that really stands out to me is that the time it takes to prepare the missionary. And the time it takes not only to prepare, but when the missionaries are there, the time it takes to get into the culture, to learn the language. I mean, it's a long commitment, but for an eternal result. And I think about the phrase, slow is fast. Slow, deliberate, systematic, faithful, and the depth of and breadth of impact. Now we're talking, you know, over 25 churches, self-propagating churches, where these are people from PNG, right? From the different tribal areas, pastoring, leading their own churches, and then in turn developing their own leaders. Grassroots, indigenous leaders, multiplying churches.
It doesn't happen on a short-term trip.
What a marvelous, marvelous reality.
Yeah. But it takes time to take people like, in our case, that were animist. They had been taught all their lives that to worship their dead ancestors. And to take them from that belief system over to the one true God, it takes time. It takes teaching. So that's why, and it takes us time to learn how to do that teaching, how to communicate cross-culturally, how to be sensitive to the culture. We're not there to change the culture. We're there to just change their belief and from animism to the one true God.
You're listening to Mark Reichman. He's the area Hawaii representative of New Tribes Mission. To find out more about New Tribes Mission, visit ntm.org. That's ntm.org. When we come back from our break, we'll have our closing segment here. Mark is also an author. He's written a book entitled MIA, That the Lost May Be Found. Obviously, He has a heart for people. He has a heart of compassion. He's a man of great faithfulness. I'm learning from him, listening. I suppose you are too. When we come back, he's going to share about facing tough times, how the Lord has helped him through periods of difficulty, and how the Lord can be there and work through you too as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Ever wish you could listen to something inspiring but didn't have the time? What if you could get an encouraging boost from a compelling testimony, a related Bible passage, and practical application all in 90 seconds? Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show have the answer. For a gift of any amount, a new CD is being offered. A slice of the good life, 90 seconds of refreshing hope. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org for this CD. Hear from Johnny Erickson Tada, Greg Smalley, Joe Onasai, Dan Chun, Jordan Tseng, Terry Wong, Norman Nakanishi, Fernando Castillo, Dave Barr, Junko, Memory Casey, Carlos Cambry, Jonathan Steeper, and many more. For a gift of any amount to Danny Yamashiro Ministries, you'll receive Volume 1 of A Slice of the Good Life. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to send in your donation and receive this enjoyable gift while supplies last. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
What's it like? You know, Jesus said when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. The work was done. The work of redemption was complete. What's it like to go away for over 23 years, to set out to reach a specific group of people? And after that period of time, over 25 churches have been planted. The missionaries that are already in the jungle are now ready to transition out. And our guest today, he also began to sell everything, transition out. It was a different phase. It's a phase of completion. The work was done. And move on to a new place in life. Oh, what a marvelous experience that is. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio program. And to find out more about our show, our guest, Mark Reichman, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. He represents New Tribes Mission. To find out more about New Tribes, you can go to ntm.org. Mark, it's a great feeling. We got a few minutes left, but I like to talk about people who actually feel a certain blush of guilt because maybe in their minds, in their hearts, for whatever reasons, and some very much justifiable, they don't finish the work that they initially set out to. And it could be missions, it could be something else. But there's an incompleteness in them. What would you say as a word of encouragement and comfort to someone who has a gap of wishing they stayed longer, finished what they were? intending to?
I think for a lot of the people that had come home prematurely for one reason or another and that are harboring maybe a guilt, they need to just realize where they're at today is where they're at today is where the Lord wants them to be today. And they need to pick up from that point and just follow His leading. They have peace in their heart that for whatever reason they're in the situation they're in or why they've why they had to leave or whatever situation that the Lord knows. And the Lord is still with them. He hasn't forgotten them. Mm-hmm. You know, He hasn't turned their back on them because they had to return or that things in their life have changed the way maybe the Lord would have it to be. But the Lord is very faithful and gracious. And I think I said that a couple of years ago when I was on your show here that I believe the only reason we were able to stay as long as we were a couple of reasons, that we had a number of people standing behind us in prayer and then to the grace of God.
The grace of God, that's the incredible marvel of life in Christ. And as you said, Mark, you know, and I think it applies, we're not just talking missionaries, people who have the gaps of unfinished work or are now dealing with guilt or regret. As Mark said, you're where you are now, pick up from there. The Lord can still move and work in your life. And sometimes the devil will just haggle us with guilt, or we allow him to haggle us with guilt. But I'd prefer to take what you said, pick up from here. Take that as a word of encouragement from Mark Reichman, missionary, author, leader, a father, a friend, a man of God, who loves you and loves the Lord and loves people. As he's loved the people of Papua New Guinea, he and his wife, Joan. It's a blessing. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And I look forward to more times with you. You joining us here at The Good Life. It's always a blessing to be with you. And we've been joined by our featured guest today, Mark Reichman. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. Heart to heart, just like we shared that time with you today. And if you want to be part of helping spread the gospel through our radio program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. We need new partners to continue to stand with us. Here's a scripture. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by Mark Reichman. Find out more at ntm.org. And until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.